Hello and welcome back to the Hypocritic Podcast. I'm Steven. Joining me tonight is my brother Preston, Trent Miller, and Nick Jones. Together we are the Hypocritical Critics, okay? Do not take anything seriously. We love these movies. We want to research them and talk about them every week, but we're not experts, and we will be spoiling the movie very thoroughly. Throw us a 5 stars and a review on whatever platform, and if you can follow us on the Instagram at hypocritic_podcast, throw us an email, hypocriticpodcast@gmail.com. We really, really want to hear from you. Really do. And this week, it's October. We've had some spooky picks recently, but Daddy had to come out with the big guns and bring a bad boy. So I wanted something to really knock my socks off. I asked Preston and my sister Stephanie what their scariest movies were. They both recommended Hereditary.
Double recommendation.
Ooh. Hereditary, a very psychological horror.
Right up your alley.
Got a little, yeah, right up Steven's alley.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hypocritic Podcast Monday night. How we doing, boys?
Whew. I'm out here. I am out here. Feeling possessed by this wine.
Where are you specifically?
Me? I'm in Chucktown. We're okay. Chilling. Got a wine. Got okay. A nice Pinot.
I got a wine also.
A little Pinot.
Oh, nice.
I got a wine.
Ooh, I didn't know it was wine night.
Preston, it's good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Yeah, I'm excited.
So good to see you.
I'm excited to be on the Halloween edition. You guys had two good ones.
We had Beetlejuice and then followed up by Scream.
Scream.
And you know, there was plenty other Halloween movies there. You know, there's Hocus Pocus. There's Halloween Town. Classic Halloween movies. But I wanted to go with a scary movie, and I wanted something to scare me this week. But, you guys, how's it going out there in the world? Nick, way out in Colorado, living the Denver hippie life.
Is it snowing? Is it snowing there yet?
No, not yet. It has this time of year in the past, but I guess it's like lasted. The warm weather has like lasted longer this year, which has been nice. So we've had like a longer fall. But yeah, it's a great time of year out here. All the leaves are still kind of changing. The snow is like starting to fall in like the high mountains, but not in like Denver yet. But yeah, I haven't been up to too much. I went camping on Friday with the lady friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, did a little off-roading, which was fun.
Nice. Any snowboarding coming up?
Not too long. Yeah, actually,
like December.
A group of friends. Yeah, you can actually start skiing at A Basin right now, but they only have a few runs open. So, and I only get 5 days there, so I'm just gonna wait until the snow gets better for that one. But, I have some friends going up for the week before Thanksgiving to do like a Friendsgiving up in Winter Park. And my pass gets me into Winter Park, so I'll probably do that weekend. Nice. And then just eat our faces off for Thanksgiving, so that's going to be super fun. Oh, yeah. But what about you, Trent? What have you been up to?
I went to Newport, California. That was fun. Wow. I'm going to Vegas.
Ooh. T-Mill in Vegas.
In 2 days.
Have you been to Vegas before?
For work?
I have one other time, yes. And it was like my car broke down, so I was there for a week, which is too long in Vegas.
Are you going to throw down 100 grand like Nick did last time he was in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I dropped like 100 bills, man. It was crazy.
I mean, it's nothing for you, but I mean, I know you dropped a lot last time here in Vegas, bro.
I'm going to be watching the Bravos World Series in Vegas for
sure. Oh, wait, hold on. So, are you going out there to, are you going out there to like vacation and gamble? Are you going to gamble?
Oh, I'm a gamble. I'm going to gamble on the Braves.
You have to.
Take my advice and get the blackjack card that I told Nick to get from the gift shop. They allow you to you play blackjack. You could break even. Best case, you don't plan on winning any money. You may break even though.
I really want to play some Hold'em. I would love to play Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, that's fun.
I did too, dude, but it's so freaking intimidating there because all the tables are really good. And then the ones that looked kind of like average, like, you know, just right off the main floor that weren't like in a private room.
Yeah.
These dudes would be like, look like they'd smoked like 20 cigarettes in their ashtray. They've been sitting there for hours and it'd be like 7 or 8 in the morning. And I'm like, am I really about to sit down and be like, could I have $20 worth of chips, please? And this guy who's just been playing the dealer for like hours is just looking at me like,
well, I've always felt intimidated like that. And I've only been a couple times, but the times that I go, I like to play the digital games. I like to just, there's even video poker. If you could sit at the bar where there's good video poker, they have these apps now that you can play video poker and it tells you how to play properly and it'll correct you. Kind of so like you actually know how to play properly when you get there. And I've never done it, but I think I did play some blackjack, digital blackjack, and that was really fun. But yeah, I think the going to the casino is kind of fun as long as you just bring in the money you plan to lose.
You think the digital is all legit though? You don't think they got any?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, like I said, I'm so intimidated to sit down like with just a bunch of people that are really know what they're doing. Like, it's just kind of best for me to like go. I can go at my own pace. I can have my drink and, you know, just relax. And you don't feel rushed or anything. And then sometimes you could take a second to like, you know, just think about it. Like, do I hit or do I stay or, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Trent, you should also check out, I think it's called either Old Town Vegas or Downtown Vegas. Like, the Strip isn't, like, technically downtown, I think.
I've been there before, Nick. I know where you're talking about. The, like, other portion.
It reminded me of, like, New Orleans with, like, the streets that you could just walk. Like, everything was connected, but you could gamble everywhere, which was dope.
Yes,
but, I was gonna say I don't enjoy gambling because of how quick you lose money, like gambling at the casinos. But recently I did start getting into sports betting a little bit, and I've been enjoying that because I just bet like $5 a game. It's not like I've probably lost 5 bets. I've won like 2 or 3. I haven't lost a lot of money. It's not like it's like cool if it's like a rush if I win a bet, but I'm not like pulling my hair out like, oh, I'm just putting dollar in after dollar in after dollar in into the stupid slot machine.
Yes, for sure. Oh, and also, Preston, you'll enjoy this. I've been getting my golf game on. That's for sure.
Have
that's
you?
For sure. I'm out there. I am out here,
How are the courses
guys.
Out there? Breezy?
They're sweet. They got a nice palm tree.
Oh, I bet they're nice.
Yeah, they got a little set of the ocean right there. So, Preston, come by anytime.
That is nice. I want to. I haven't been out in a minute. I'm going out this weekend, though, with Kyle. His birthday is actually Halloween.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Coops. And you get free rounds on your birthday, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm obsessed. I love it. I keep playing. I keep going every weekend, so.
That's what you got to do. Weekend Warriors. No, I'm down to get out there.
I just went to Import Alliance. It's this cool car drift event out here. Cool. And it's like really like it's a great event, but it's not as high end as a Formula Drift or anything like that. But it's such a great event. There's like really nice cars that come out, a lot of drifting. And Courtney and I took her sister and her sister's boyfriend out there. And we had a good time. Mm-hmm. I met one of my freaking idols, Rutledge Wood, out there. He was just lives out here in Georgia. He's this big, big time car guy. He's a race analysis. He's done stuff on Top Gear, and he's really just big in the car community. And I've followed him for a long time, and I just ended up meeting him. He brought a couple of his cars to show at the event.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like really inspirational meeting that guy there. He was super cool, super nice guy. Stood there, talked to me for a little bit, but.
That's pretty cool. He's been on Top Gear.
Speaking of which, did you guys...
Did he invite you on tour, Steven?
He did not invite me on tour.
Steven whips out the taco.
So, did you see
but I did offer him free work, and he took my card, so we'll see where that leads.
Did one of the guys go around the corner and then slide the car sideways? Did that happen?
Totally.
And stuck his hand out the window?
Sick.
No.
Speaking of which, Steven and Preston, weren't you guys with Stephanie recently watching like Nightmare on Elm Street or something?
Yeah. It was last Friday.
Yeah, last Friday. It was
okay. And then this movie got brought up. Is that what happened? Like, how did this?
I've been telling
that was the cocktail. I think
you're
right.
I've been telling Steven to watch Hereditary, and shout out to my sister. She's the one who actually was telling me to watch it last year. And she was telling me for a long time, and I just kept putting it off. I didn't exactly know what it was about, and I didn't watch a trailer, and I'm glad I didn't after watching it. But so I finally watched it, and I was impressed. I liked it.
Right, because Steven, you hadn't seen it.
No, I hadn't seen it, but and that's why I had to ask them, because I the scariest movie up until now that I feel I've seen is The Forest, about the suicide forest. And there's probably other ones that I've seen that are just as scary, but I like the psychological twist and stuff in that movie. But for this pick, I wanted to see a new scary movie. I was like, what does the world have to offer now as far as like really scary movies? So asking their advice was, they both summed up with Hereditary. And they had been telling me to watch it for a long time, and I was the same way. I didn't watch it. But you guys, good movie. Let's get into it.
Let's dive in.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hypocritic Podcast, Stats and Facts, where we dive deep into the stats and into the facts.
Physics.
This week's summary, when the matriarch of the Graham family passes away, her daughter and grandchildren begin to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry.
I guess it was a matriarchy.
It says, trying to outrun the sinister fate of what they have inherited. And this movie's crazy. This is psychological. It's like a thriller. It's got a paranormal. And paranormal is something that I'm always chilled to the bone about. Personally, you know, I don't think I would like any kind of... I think any kind of torture movie would scare me a lot also, but I don't think I would be interested in watching that and to begin with. So this is like, I think the almost probably one of the pinnacles, I think, at this point, like of what scary movies can really be. And they really threw a lot of like interesting new things, but we'll get into that later. This is our movie and it deserves it. 2018. It's 2 hours, 6 minutes, horror drama, Trent.
Good Lord, 2 hours, over 2 hours. But what were you asking? Drama?
It was horror drama.
That's Harama.
Harama. I was just listening to the Beetlejuice podcast. It was like 1.5 hours, and Trent's like, ooh, that is the sweet spot.
Anything close to it? Fucking is. It is.
I was waiting for him to say this. Something.
Trent loves him a good 90-minute movie.
At least it's not a 2 hour.
We're all guilty of 2-hour-plus movies, especially you guys, okay? But this was a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb, 89% Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
89%. Wow. Metacritic, okay. 87%. Google users, 74%. Interesting that that's 74%, and there's Rotten Tomatoes almost 90. Typically, Google is a little bit higher, but in this case, not the case.
Hmm.
Director and writer, Ari Aster. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Ari Aster. Am I pronouncing the last name right? Aster?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, interesting. Director and writer. Thought it was interesting.
A24.
You said it was Toni Collette, Millie Shapiro, Gabriel Byrne,
Alex Wolff.
Yeah, but
I think there's
hopping into some of the trivia stuff.
There's so many different like subgenres of horror.
Hit us with the box office.
Yeah, give us that box.
I didn't look up the box office. I could look it up real quick.
I'm curious. It says the budget is $10 million.
Let's take a guess while he's looking.
Caught
it
him
up.
With his
I'm
pants
gonna say,
down.
I'm gonna say it's 28. Ooh, actually, not too low.
28 million.
I'll say 36. I'll be generous.
It is 80.2 million.
Wow! I didn't even hear this movie came out. Did y'all?
No, I didn't. I never heard of this movie.
I remember like seeing a trailer.
Was
something,
it nominated for anything? Because I've seen it on some.
I think so. I think so.
I feel like for our general taste,
46
as like a
wins
group,
and 109.
I feel like this movie wouldn't be something we like default to. And oh my god, I gotta watch this. It's almost like you're looking for a really scary movie. And then you come upon this. But I was watching a bunch of these trailers of like just the scariest movies that I could find. And this never popped up.
I did a Reddit search and this popped up a lot, but yeah, that's what I was saying. There's like so many different subgenres of horror. You got like your slashers, your paranormal ones, the ones that rely on gore, your more psychological ones. But I enjoyed this one. Just nice for the modern, because I'm pretty picky when it comes to especially new horror films. I just feel like they're so predictable. But back to what you said, Nick, it says 46 wins on 109 nominations as far as awards go.
Oh, wow.
On what?
Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films. I can't believe there's an academy for that. No, there's just a whole bunch of different ones. Okay.
I also saw it.
I was just going to say real quick, I saw it won the Gotham Independent Film Award for Best Actress.
Toni Collette?
And, which actress?
Yeah. I would imagine it was...
It's got to be Toni Collette. She's the...
Yeah, she was the main actress, and she was phenomenal. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought her range of emotion in this movie was
it was Collette.
Insane. She crushed it. She reminded me... She was seriously on the same level that Winona Ryder was in Stranger Things, that mother.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if she was better.
I like Winona Ryder's character better, obviously, because it's more of a positive outcome versus this like negative outcome, obviously. But yeah, you see her go, and she's super convincing. I don't know if I've ever seen an actor or actress be that convincing as like when she's explaining, you know, all this stuff. I was like, scene after scene, I was like, wow, she is blowing me away with how convincing. And like, even Peter, I forget who played Peter.
Alex Wolff.
He did really good. I liked him too, but Toni Collette, she blew me away.
I was going to say that as well. I was going to say Alex Wolff was pretty good. He actually, I have a fact here that it will parlay into something, but he said that he was willing to slam his face into that solid desk. Remember when he got possessed in school? He was willing to do it and break his nose, but they said that that would be obviously an illegal thing to do, so we're not going to do that. We don't want you to break your own face. So the team brought in a cushioned, and this is the key word, prop desk, which then we should talk about Alec Baldwin and the prop gun.
Oh, we should. This is a tragedy.
Can we finish the prop desk?
This is
first?
A huge thing all over the news right now, and it is relevant to this podcast we're doing. Y'all obviously heard about this.
Yeah, yes. We heard about this. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he issued
accidentally
apology
fired a
statement.
No, I know, but this prop gun went off and killed the director of photography. Rest in peace. It also injured another director. From what I know, that director is still alive.
Yeah, it injured the director, and it killed the director of cinematography.
It's just such a tragedy to think about something like this just happening at like a day at work. And
I have a stat here about this. It says there have been at least 43 on-set deaths from prop guns since 1990.
What?
And I don't understand. Like, maybe we have to do a little bit more onto it. I'm sure none of us can really speak on it, but I don't understand why there would be live rounds. Now, and I did a little research. Apparently, they use real guns. It's just the ammunition they use is fake.
See, that's why I don't even think they should call it a prop gun, because it shouldn't have a firing
gun. Exactly, and you probably shouldn't call it a prop gun. You should call it prop ammunition or something.
But back to what you were saying, Trent, the other incident most everybody was bringing up was at 84, they were filming a movie called The Crow. And a guy did the same exact thing. His name was Brandon Lee, but 40. I thought everywhere else I saw said that that was like the last one. 40
since 1990. There's been 43 on-set deaths from a prop gun. Yeah, and it says it's apparently up to the studios and labor unions to set primary protection for film sets. But in this case, the precautions seem to have failed. This is all from The Skim, if you guys are familiar with that source. But
there'll be more information coming out about
high profile name.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we just did Beetlejuice right before it, which is crazy.
I know,
we just did Beetlejuice,
yeah,
and I was
with Alec. Yeah,
and I just thought, I was like, because we didn't even recognize him in that film, and I was like, it's so crazy that this is the guy that was in this film the whole time.
Yep.
But yeah, and this is a tragedy, but. On a lighter note, Trent, that prop desk, when he hit his face into it in this movie, Do you know any more about that prop desk, or just there was a?
Yeah, it says it. It just says it was cushioned, according to Wolf. But it still was hard enough to hurt, and he was bleeding in that scene.
Oh, really?
But not from his nose. He injured his knee after banging it against the desk. So apparently, it wasn't even related to his nose that he was really bleeding.
Oh, interesting.
That's funny, because right after that scene, I was kind of wondering like how they filmed that, because it just looked so realistic. How he was just smacking it right on. I don't know, just interesting. I was wondering, so you just answered my question.
Creepy scene. Really weird scene.
No, and I thought the right. I thought the score was amazing. The music just was.
Who did the music?
I don't know. I can look it up as we talk, but I just thought it was such a creepy sound. And I was playing it in the background at one point, just rewatching it just to like brush up on some more important scenes. And Courtney was just listening to it in the background, just by the music alone. She was like, that sounds really creepy. And I was like, I know.
Like
the music and the sounds they used. It's just very... And that's another thing about modern scary movies that really, really creep me out, is like a really good score like that, where the tones are just... I don't even know what they use, but something psychologically just scares the hell out of me on that kind of music.
Yeah, I was listening to it on a... if you don't have a sound bar, you should definitely get one. Especially for movies like that, it was awesome. I also loved the film style. I don't know if you guys noticed like how everything was kind of just moving slow.
Yes, I love that.
Like everything was just kind of slow.
And it's built tension. I feel that really builds tension.
So this director... There's a scene where, you know, when her head falls off and they don't show it until the next morning, and then they like zoom in on it immediately and you see like the head with the flies on it and everything, or the bugs. The
ants.
Oh yeah.
Rachel was immediately like, is this the director who did Midsommar? And that's another movie that we had watched recently, and I was like, I don't know, I haven't really looked into this guy yet. And it turns out it was the same director.
Really?
And she was like I could tell it was the same director, because in that movie too, they just like shock, like there's just really close-up scenes of like extremely gory things like that that just kind of catch you by surprise. And
damn,
she said,
look at
she
Rachel
said it was just like real, I know, I was like, what a
legend. That's actually pretty shout impressive to kind of pick a director and say
that is pretty cool. Midsommar has actually been on my list. It was Midsommar good, you liked it?
Or Midsommar, yeah. Dude, I really didn't like it. I was kind of surprised. It's one of her favorite, like, recent, quote-unquote, scary movies. She liked it better than this movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it at all. It was really fucking weird. I don't think any of you guys would like it.
If
one of you guys liked it, I'd be very surprised.
It was different than I thought. I thought I would like this better, just based on the trailer, so I know that doesn't say much, but...
Yeah. Like, well, one thing I did want to comment on is when you said that this was the scariest movie that you've ever seen, I was kind of expecting, like, in my definition of scary scenes or scary movies, I guess a lot of times I associate it with like scary jump out scenes. And this movie was more like psychologically scary.
Right.
And like Steven said, more based around just the fear of extra, you know, cosmic type of spirits or extraterrestrial, or that's not the right word, you know what I'm talking about, but
yeah.
I had it pulled up here. I had a fact here about just how the director wasn't going for kind of like pop out scary stuff. He was going for more like character based.
I more so thought it was less scary and more just fucking creepy. It was just the creepiest movie I've ever seen.
He said Ari Aster wanted to go for scares that were emotionally justified rather than solely leaning on traditional horror jump scares.
And that's why I kind of appreciated it.
I
do not like jump scares at all.
I don't like jump scare movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Potter has more jump scare movies than most movies, I would say. So, Steven, I'm surprised you say that.
Just to touch back, though, composer Colin Stetson. So, great composer for the scary music genre.
Shout out Colin.
Hire him if you're doing a scary movie, because this guy will lay the fucking track down.
I just want to say, for the record, real quick, I did not say it was the scariest movie. I said it for the pod. I thought it would have been the best one.
You did have another scary movie that you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, in most recent, I wouldn't say it's the scariest.
What was that one?
That's what I told Steven. I was like, for the pod, I think we should do Hereditary just because it's modern. But, okay. Because, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's a different kind of scary. And there's
we'll
so
plug
many.
Plug it real quick for
everyone. For sure.
For the millions of people listening.
Yeah.
Plug what?
Movie. Plug it for the millions movie. Of listeners.
Oh, I mean, I'd have to think about it. I can't even.
I think you said that
this is one of my favorite like horror genre films, but it's not the scariest, but I don't know, there's a lot.
So one other thing I wanted to comment on, like immediately when this movie started and I saw the aspen trees, I was like, this is filmed somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Like I could just tell by the landscape. And turns out they shot this in Utah, like areas around I think like Salt Lake. But apparently the director liked the idea of Utah for the film because he thought the mountains, you know, being beautiful and breathtaking would kind of offset like how menacing and like ominous the movie was, which I thought was kind of cool. Like their house was gorgeous, dude.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
I was wondering
such
where it was
a sick part of the mountains. Like I'm like imagining growing up there. Like,
was
so
it nice?
Sick.
I didn't.
Oh, it was a beautiful house. Beautiful house.
That nice.
Beautiful.
Dude, it was
creepy.
Such a nice house. And it was, They had so much just kind of private, like privacy, and there's just,
and even
they were like up in the mountains.
Studio,
it was beautiful.
Her big studio of the little micro things, which I also loved. I love that aspect. They took every scene and made it super creepy by making it miniature in her studio where she's in there making all this miniature, super, super realistic stuff. So I don't know this guy's Instagram plug because he's this Japanese guy that I can't pronounce it, but I follow him and he makes these incredibly small micro, like it's just like a really small thing that sits next to your plug inside your wall and it looks like a little staircase like going up into the wall, like a little mini staircase, like a little like a little mouse would use this like really nice little staircase to go up in the wall. He has this crazy beautiful, I'm like enamored with it. I'll send you guys some stuff later, but he literally makes these really, really small. He has this one where you open up.
Are you gonna get some?
Open up the light switch, and it's like a little. There's a little desk in there with like a little. There's a bunch. It looks like a little room. He's got a refrigerator with the microwave. Like it's a room with like micro everything, and it looks real. And he even has the lights going on in there.
Yeah.
So literally, when you open it up, like. He says the capture was like watch him not tell the owners that this is here and watch him freak out. The next people that move in the house just like open that up and see that shit.
That'd be creepy.
Lights going, you would be like, what in the fuck is this?
I always think of a dinner for.
Well, I thought
Go ahead, Trent.
I thought the miniature stuff was just creepy as like, you know, her little models. Or
dinner
whatever.
For schmucks.
But
though.
this is clearly a conversation for favorite scenes. I think we're jumping ahead of ourselves.
No, but this was a good theme
about it.
Like they showed all. Go ahead.
My bad. Sorry.
For the delay. Okay.
I was just gonna touch on. I was gonna touch on one more thing, but if you want to wrap up that thought, go for it.
No, I was just saying. I like how they showed this. They showed a lot of scenes in miniature form instead of actually showing it. They showed some scenes with her mom.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And I'm sure we'll bring it up later, but I really don't want to forget to talk about the miniature because it was kind of a side aspect, but.
Yeah,
there were so
in the,
many little
the
scenes
car
that she,
accident.
Yeah, that was so creepy. She recreated
her headless,
and it was so realistic. I was like, "Oh my god, this is so like." And then there were so many scenes. You could tell it was like writing a song for some people, or you know, painting for some people. It was like her way to like, kind of
her outlet.
Yeah, her outlet. Yeah. But it was like very just straightforward and kind of like morbid the way she.
I think that's her career, I guess, too. She's an artist.
It was her career, but you could tell she wasn't doing a lot of work at that point. She was just like making a lot of like personal scenes at that point.
Well, it seemed like they were given a lot of space because of the death in her family or the deaths in her family and all that. But the only other fact I was going to touch on, I thought was kind of cool. And I guess this just shows that a lot of the directing that they went for, they tried to make as real as possible and not use like CGI, which I appreciate. I'm kind of critical of certain movies like that overdo CGI. But definitely. to make the chalkboard write on itself, the special effects team used a magnet in the chalk and then put a magnet on the other side of the chalkboard to make the chalk move. And they said it was very difficult to get a super small magnet inside the chalk to make it write like smoothly. And that's just cool. That's just cool. Cause I thought like, you would think that like in any movie like this, like, fuck it. Like, let's just computer generate it. Like, who cares? But I feel like that just shows the level of detail.
And I agree. I really think it's as real as possible. I think there's going
to
be a big resurgence of that. I think you're going to see a lot more people saying the, almost like the special effects method is going to be like the cheap, almost like the easy way out, when in fact people are going to much prefer. And we've talked about it before with like the costumes and, you know,
art
and just, you know, Lord of the Rings and things like that.
People appreciate like real art.
Yes. Yeah. Lord of the Rings is the one that I get really butthurt about.
Me too.
It was on the other night. The Hobbit was on, and I was just like, bro, I just cannot get into this movie compared to Lord of the Rings.
They're still good. They're watchable. Yeah. But no,
they're still good, but they, yeah.
And I agree. It's
I feel
why,
like I'm watching the Avengers.
And it's along with the writing, it's like why this film stands out from other ones. Even just that one creepy scene where you see the mom just, you know, in the room, like very faint. It's like, it doesn't have to be jump out or anything. It's like that alone is just very kind of creepy. But boys,
I just wanted to say that was a really cool effect, Nick, because that's another thing I was actually wondering about. And that's what I was thinking. I thought that they were using a magnet underneath. I don't know if you noticed when they came back around when she was writing, it kind of looked like it got caught up.
Well, you could tell that it was all one endless stream of words. I don't think it pulled. It was like almost like cursive or something. I think they didn't pull the chalk off the thing because then it wraps all the way under.
Right. Yeah.
It did some weird thing where it was like it wouldn't pull it off, but I thought it was brilliantly done, and I was like, wow, that looks really freaking convincing, and like that's obviously why it was so convincing. And I think directors and producers doing those little things to go the extra mile to be like, how can we do this for real and not CGI it, is going to be what makes them stand out.
Well, if it was for real, they would have had a spirit, and they would have had the spirit do it. But, you know, it's kind of bullshit in my
opinion. That is a little bullshit.
I know. You guys remember when we did Ouija board?
I remember y'all did that.
Oh my gosh,
dude, that brought
that's
me.
Definitely that's definitely a part I want to get to.
But I do want to bring that up at some point.
We'll bring it up at some point.
Wait, did you guys light candles?
No, we did it in our basement though. At one point, and I remember there was that scene. There was a couple scenes where they're doing that. Like
we cannot get off this section
on the glass. But all right, let's go to
we'll
five.
Be going
five
forever.
For five to whip your asses
to stay alive.
This week on the 5 for 5, Steven Strada comes out with five amazing questions to bust all the boys.
Let's hear it.
To stay alive.
5 for 5 to stay alive.
Should be interesting.
All right, boys. You guys know what it is. Five questions for $5. You just have to get four of the five questions correct. Everyone is eligible, including the millions and millions of people listening right now live. Thank you. You're all eligible. Honor system, just look to Nick for the account. Question number one. When Annie describes her mother's disorder, which does she mention first? This is in the...
Is that a little wiffle ball I see coming at me?
I remember this.
This was in the scene where she's in the meeting with all the people, and she's telling them her mother's disorders, and she mentions them. All right. So there's dementia, schizophrenia, DID, or psychosis.
I'm pretty sure I'm locked in.
DID? The fuck? Trent, do you know it? I'm between two.
I don't. I'm going to guess, because I remember some of these mentioned, obviously, but it's going to be a guess for me.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to go psychosis.
Okay. Mm. Preston?
Well, then let's let Nick go second.
Oh, yeah. I'll go next.
99.
I feel like one of them was dementia. I feel like, so her brother was, I'm pretty, well, I don't want to give
Let's not give our train of thoughts now, okay.
But I'm pretty positive dementia was listed once, so I'm going to guess dementia.
Preston, why don't you tell him what the right answer is?
The right answer is DID.
Yes, it is DID.
What?
Which is essentially multiple personality disorder.
Yeah. Did you guys not watch with subtitles?
What does it stand for?
See, I looked it up because I didn't know what it was, but it was the first thing she said her mother had.
And that's why it stuck in my mind, because I didn't know what DID was
either. I had never heard of that. I had heard of multiple personality disorder. I have never heard of that. So, okay. All right, you guys. We're getting right along here. Question number two. What does Peter's friend end his party invitation text with? He invites him to a party. He says, bring your ass... bring your dick, bring your balls, or bring your taint.
I am about 90.
Fuck, how did I miss this?
95.
Nick, come on.
All right, Nick's definitely going.
One more time with those answers, and I'll just give you a gut.
All right, what does Peter's friend end his party invitation text with? Bring your ass, bring your dick, bring your balls, or bring your taint.
What's it gonna be, Nick? What are you gonna bring?
Gosh. I literally said taint earlier today, so that one's like jumping out at me.
This week, five for five, Nick struggles with ass, balls, dick, and taint.
Earlier today, he heard taint, so ass, he might balls, think dick, it's taint. Taint. Oh,
no, ass, he balls, might dick, go taint. For taint.
But his gut says balls.
Find out tonight.
Bring your ass, bring your balls, bring your
dick, or bring your taint. Dick. Come on, Nick, just wrap it up. All right, this is a guess.
Bring your taint.
Going with the taint.
I was peer pressured.
The taint is jumping out at Nick. I definitely know.
Actually, I feel like that's not right at all.
Why? Because we're all laughing at you?
Because I would have remembered it if he said taint.
No, this was on a text.
But I'll stay true.
He doesn't say this.
Preston, you go ahead. I know.
I'm going to say bring your dick.
It's bring your dick.
Damn it.
It is bring your dick. Well, that was interesting.
Nick is.
Who would even text bring your taint?
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Who would say bring your dick? I thought that was just as outrageous as bring your taint.
No, I know, but dick or balls are a little more
believable.
If
it said bring your taint, I 100% would have remembered.
I feel like if it said bring your dick, you guys would have been like, no, that's definitely not it. That doesn't sound right.
Oh man,
I would have probably said
bring your balls,
probably, if I didn't know what it was.
Steven, great answer choices.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was the question of the night.
All right, so question number three. Who says you didn't kill her?
Ooh, I know.
And then followed by the name of the person. But who says this? Is it Steve, Joan, Annie, or Peter?
Another wiffle ball.
Who says you didn't kill her? This is a Preston Strada-inspired quote question.
Ain't no jalopies coming around here no more. Ain't no chickens roosting.
All right,
give me the answers one more time. All right, who says you didn't kill her? Steve, Joan, Annie, or Peter?
I think I know it.
This one's coming down low and center, and it's slow. And I'm going to fucking wail on it. So, Nick, I think you're first here.
Do you know it too, Trent? That's what you said?
Yes. That's what I meant.
I didn't hear it all the way.
I'm going Joan.
All right. T. Millie on the really.
Nick pulling it out of his butt, and it's correct.
He did pull it out of his butt.
Nick pulled it out of his butt. He had a butt putt, and it was
that
a
was
drone.
My gut. That was my gut, but I second guessed it.
When Tony, you got to get in your gut. Go with your butt.
When she was walking out the door,
is it Joni? Is it Joni or Joan?
It's Joan. I think Joni's just like her nickname.
It was okay. Joan.
Or Joan's just short for Joan.
And I totally knew that it was a setup when the mat outside of her house.
No, I know. Yeah.
All day. Did you guys not
give it away?
Did you guys not give it away? Like I kind of gave it away pretty early, right?
Yeah,
They
should have left that out.
It didn't give it away for me the first time.
Yeah, it was
time.
Way too obvious.
It gave it away, and I was like, why would they give it away? Like, they didn't have to do that. And the story still plays out fine. It still all matches up, even without giving it away right there. But, yeah, I guess they kind of wanted to give it away. All right, so.
Next question.
This is the scene where Joan is showing her how to do the seance, right?
Her taint?
Oh. Wait, what?
I'm going to text that to my friends.
Was she showing
now.
Her taint?
No. This is a seance. This is the seance.
Seance.
There's a seance going on. This is Joan showing Annie the seance the first time. Now, she said she has a link for this. For the seance, and she mentions it. Is it the chalkboard, the glass, the candle, or the camera?
Oh, that's a whiffle.
Sounds like a whiffle
slow
to me.
Slow and steady down the middle.
Uh-oh, it looks like Trent's not whiffing this one, though.
Well, I'm finding the definition of a seance.
It's when that's she was reading the
candle.
It's the
kind of Ouija board moment when Joan's
Googling. I know. I'm just Googling what a seance is.
No Googling.
It's such a weird. It's such a weird name.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, Google on your own time, Trent. This is 5 for 5, and we're live with millions waiting for you.
I see. You repeat it once.
You should have learned about seances before this, dude.
Dude, I don't know. He's Googling. Know seance.
Come what to work prepared, Trent.
You should have studied seances on the study guide.
Why the fuck would I?
Clearly, you
seance.
Didn't get the Google Doc, dude. We had a whole study guide prepared.
Did you not get the study guide?
Preston and I had a whole study guide prepared.
Did you even take the test?
Give me the answer choices and I'll go first.
All right. What was Joan's link? She mentions this. Chalkboard,
oh, yeah.
Glass, candle, or camera?
Oh, yeah.
This is easy as
all right, T, go ahead. Easy weezy with it.
Easy peasy. It is the chalkboard.
It's chalkboard.
Nick, why don't you tell him what
chalkboard.
It actually is? Fuck you guys. It was chalkboard.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. Feeling good about myself this week.
I was expecting you to come harder with some of these. I thought it was going to be like one of those writings on the wall, Steven. Like the yeah. small, like little. I was like trying to remember them all.
There's two
no,
or three
no. I did not want to. Like I said, I was kind of scrambling eggs for this last 5 for 5. Like Nick was last week.
We could tell.
It might be good for the audience, though.
If you guys want to hear a real banger 5 for 5, listen last week. We had Nick, hardcore parkour.
Yeah, Nick's was a
coming in hot with scrambled eggs. You can compare that to my scrambled eggs and we'll see.
Was this Scream?
Scream, yes.
All right, I haven't listened to that yet.
He had some boat license plate questions. He had some, what song is this questions? All right, last question. You guys know I'm going to do it. What make was their car?
I looked out for it.
All right, Preston.
But hold
your
horses. I need to hear this.
Trent, asked a similar question the other week. Beetlejuice, what make was the car? All right, inspired by moi. What make was their car? Volvo, Volkswagen, Audi, or Lexus?
Ooh, see, I'm still not 100%, but when I see a car in one of the movies we're doing now, there's like a 90% chance you're gonna
have. You got to look at it. I was analyzing everyone's mountain cars because everyone had like when she was at the grocery store and stuff. Like everyone had like Subarus and shit. Seemed like
Audi, Lexus, Volkswagen, and what?
It's Volvo. Volkswagen, Audi, or Lexus.
I think I got it. And we're talking about the hatchback.
The wagon.
Yeah.
Man. y'all some hoes with this one. Because you're confusing me. You're both saying, you're saying the house is nice, and now I'm like, oh yeah, the house is nice. So I got a Lexus because the house was nice.
Listen,
the house wasn't even that nice in my opinion. I think it's
go watch back.
I think it's a Volkswagen. I think it's Volkswagen.
Okay. NJ Jones.
Preston.
I'm gonna say
I'm 100% on it, except Preston.
I'm gonna say Volvo.
It is a Volvo.
Damn,
it's a Volvo.
I only caught a corner on her the steering wheel, and I thought it was a Nissan at first.
Yeah, similar
thing. And I knew it wasn't Lexus or Audi. Then we said Volvo, and if you said Nissan, I would have went with that. But I knew it wasn't the Volkswagen.
I recognized the dash of the car.
You were with Nissan? Interesting. All right, boys. Great job. Did anyone win this week?
I was 5 for 5.
Preston, 5 for 5. Congratulations.
Wow.
Nice. We will send Preston's you sweep. We send you a
bunch
lot
of whiffs.
Stuff.
So yeah, my Venmo stuff. Is at Preston Strada. For anybody listening too, feel free.
Oh, we're about to get a lot of plugs on that. Yeah. Okay. We got a lot of people
listening.
A lot
of money coming in.
And we want to hear from you guys. So if you guys are out there, yes, please let us know because we're waiting for you.
Our Malaysian audience is going
to
go ham.
You guys, let's jump into Director in the Ass. Videos. Director and the ass. We show the ass. Of every director.
Isn't that right, Steven?
We show the ass.
Of every director.
We'll show you.
We pulled our pants down, and we show that ass.
It's audio format, but you will, by the end of this, have seen multiple rear ends.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look like this a full moon on Halloween night. I mean, I'm telling you, this is
director
be...
and writer.
A director and writer, scary. Ari Aster. All right, let's see his ass turn.
Ari Aster.
Director in the Ari Aster is what we're going to start calling it. Because damn, what a great movie. This guy put it on the map.
Great
He's
movie.
Known for Hereditary, obviously.
He's 35.
Midsummer, but it's one word.
Midsummer, it's a Swedish festival.
Midsommar, okay. Disappointment Boulevard and...
Don't recommend it.
Marshhausen.
Yeah, she looks sad in this, Nick. She looks very sad in this movie.
It's just...
Only 11 director credits.
If you
want
to be depressed and confused, go for it.
I was looking into him after I watched this movie just to see who he was. And Midsommar, obviously, was the first one that popped up.
Like...
Yeah, it was...
So...
Very plump.
This is really his first non-short directing movie, Hereditary.
I didn't really recognize anything else.
He has a thing for the scary, it looks like, also.
Oh, interesting trivia. It says he has cited Rosemary's Baby, which a lot of people compared this movie to.
Mm.
I've not seen, but
interesting.
That's just interesting.
All right. He was great. Let's move on.
I mean, great. Great ass, slacks, jeans, pajama bottoms, all of them. Great ass.
He does have
Will this
great
be on
ass.
The Instagram? Do you guys include the director ass on each carousel?
Every Instagram post, we need to include a slide of the director's ass.
He must work out.
I'm not opposed. Nick, good call.
Nice, all right, boys. Toni Collette.
Wow.
Yeah, Toni Collette.
Wow.
What is she from? The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense.
She plays Lynn Sear.
She's in Little Miss Sunshine. I know I recognized her from Sunshine.
Also About a Boy. And yeah, Little Miss Sunshine. She's Cheryl. Interesting.
Little Miss Sunshine, yeah.
Oh, she's in Knives Out, too.
Knives Out. Joni.
I don't remember her in that.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought she did a very, very good job. I was interested to see. I read somewhere in the trivia, too, that she was trying to... She just wanted to do comedy, and I guess she saw this script and was like, it was too good not to go with it.
What? She went from comedy to this?
No, she wanted to go comedy, but she wanted to stop doing roles like this, apparently.
I need to watch her funny movies.
Yeah, dude, you got to be like emotionally scarred after a role like this. Like, I was depressed within just the 2 hours of watching this movie, I can't imagine just being like encapsulated in it for months.
Could you imagine?
Of just that
could you imagine? Right. Like just the day of filming for that dinner sequence where she's like yelling at Peter.
God.
Like, good Lord, I bet that was an intense day.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Nick, because the kid Alex Wolff actually did suffer. I guess we can get into that when we're there. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but I was going to say one of the things that he did suffer from, like, you know, some PTSD kind of stuff.
Which guy? Peter?
Peter, Peter. Alex Wolff.
Damn.
But,
do you know anything specific?
I can't remember when I was just doing research a little earlier today, so I don't know if it's going to show it here in the IMDb. But
that is a perfect segue into Peter. He was
Alex Wolff is Peter. Wolf,
he was in Jumanji, Patriots Day, Pig.
The original Jumanji? No, the more recent Jumanji.
2017.
Okay. Young Spencer in the newer one. Okay. I didn't hate that newer Jumanji, I will say. I didn't hate it.
I didn't see it. I was looking him up. He's like kind of born into a big like kind of acting family. It seemed like everybody was kind of notable. His mom's like a writer or something. He was in some films with her. He was also like on I think Nickelodeon or something with his brother. But I thought him and Toni Collette like stole the show with their acting. I was just like, I was pretty blown away.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't like the little girl?
Oh, no. She actually was fabulous.
No, she was very good. Let's hop
Should
into
we talk
her.
About her.
She was Charlie. Where? Oh, yeah. Millie Shapiro. Yeah.
She doesn't have much Broadway kids. Against bullying, and then
so she is 20 or no, she's 19.
What
is she?
She's 19 now.
She's 19 now, but when this came out, that was 3 years ago, so she was 16.
How is she 16 in this movie? She looks like she's like 11.
She was supposed to be 13, I believe. They said she was, I believe it was 13. It was either that or 15. I can't remember.
It looks like this is her big one.
Yeah, no, she did do good in this. I don't know how to say this without being like, I guess, kind of mean, but like she was obviously creepy and like did a good job at being super creepy, but like also, you know, did a good job as a child actor and or a young actress in this movie. But right, I mean, I told you guys from the get go. Mm-hmm. I think I texted you guys and I was like, oh my gosh, this little girl, like. I was relieved when she died a little bit because it was
Trent. Oh that is the worst thing you've ever said.
I
know that's so
told
bad.
Rachel the same exact thing.
What?
After it happened, I was like, I mean, that kind of sucks, but I'm glad I don't have to scare it. Like I was expecting
she
the
was
kid
free.
To get possessed.
Yeah.
The way that they were teeing up the movie, and that was I was kind of reading a review that was like that was kind of a big twist of the movie because it's kind of painting her to be one of the main characters and then she dies unexpectedly. But a lot of these movies go the route of the kid's going to get possessed. There's going to be the creepy kid from The Ring or whatever. There's always a lot of scary movies like lean on the scary kid actor thing. And I was like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it with this girl, but I'm kind of glad I didn't. And she died.
That's right. Yeah. But that's what I
no,
said.
No, what
but
a crazy what too, death scene. I mean, I actually knew a girl that died like that. And it was
apparently it's based on a true story out of Atlanta. Rachel was telling me that.
Oh, that's exactly what happened. The dude went to Pope. He lived in Chimney Springs.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure he went to Pope. He lived in Chimney Springs. He was driving his really drunk friend home one night. He didn't even know. He did the same thing. He parked in the driveway with the body there, and someone walking their dog that morning reported it. They were that fucked up.
Oh, my God.
No, so...
That's so crazy. I didn't know he went to Pope, because Rachel said it was in Marietta, like on Canton Road or something.
Yeah, I'm like 90% sure he went to Pope, and he was in Chimney Springs, which is Pope.
Well, this happened while I was in Texas, but this is a thing. It obviously happens, and it happens because... a lot of times it happens because people get really drunk, they're driving around, and they get out of the window, and then an accident of some kind happens, and It is really easy. If a car like gets in an accident of some kind, it's because it's like hitting something that's sitting there. And if you're out of the window, essentially you're going to be hitting it. And it's just a horrible way to film it. And it was so really quick. Well. Like you weren't expecting it. Like she's having this nut allergy, which I called it all day. They mentioned in the very beginning there was a nut allergy, and right then I was like, all right, so when is she going to have the allergic reaction? So another thing that I kind of wish they just, I guess they needed to say it just to make it sound like more believable. But yeah, you think she's like going to die just because she's
from the nut.
Like, she can't breathe anymore because her throat is just getting too big. And yeah, then she just gets out of the window to try to get more air. And it's like that super scary. Out of nowhere, you were not expecting that. You're scared about this one thing, and then wow, now all of a sudden you're fucking terrified about this completely other thing. And he does such a great job in that scene acting. And I'm sure he was given really good directing on it, but I mean, wow, you could tell there was that one point where he like barely says, "Are you okay?" He doesn't even say it.
He was like trying to.
He's in shock.
He was about to say it, but he didn't. And he was about to look up in the mirror, and he didn't. Oh my god! It was just, I could only imagine what kind of like.
I don't know if y'all noticed the foreshadowing right before, on the way to the party. I only noticed my second time watching, but they're driving down the street, and then it stops right at the right at the telephone pole. Just a little foreshadowing. Yeah,
that scene was great. And then it pans to the wheel just slowing down. I thought that was really well shot.
No, I know. That whole scene, though, was like the craziest, one of the craziest scenes in the entire movie. But let's real quick talk about Gabriel Byrne. He played Steve. I hate it when someone has the name of Steve in a movie and it's like this. I get weird. I'm like, stop using my name in this. In this creepy movie, I just don't like it. Do you guys ever feel that way when it's like your name is being used in like a really bad connotation movie?
No.
Preston's not thrown around too much.
The only movie
Steve is all around
is Swingers with John Favreau and Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn's
that's it.
In that movie.
Oh, actually.
I hear a true crime podcast about a guy named Steven, and I'm like, oh shit, I can't even listen to this one. This is. Steven so was a fucking dick.
Oh, Usual Suspects. That's usual what I was trying
suspects.
To
think. Yeah, Usual Suspects.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
End of Days. Miller's Crossing. Trent, we've talked about this
Alec
before.
Alec Baldwin's brother actually was in it.
He plays Tom in Miller's Crossing. Trent, your last name is Miller. Check it out.
What's going on? Steve and Miller now?
I don't know. This is pretty crazy.
I thought he did pretty good. I could have sworn I recognized him from somewhere. I don't think I've seen Usual. I definitely haven't seen Usual Suspects.
That's a pretty big movie.
Definitely is big. Movie. Definitely is big.
Let's see.
I don't.
Enemy of the State with Will Smith. Yeah, he's in that.
I haven't seen that, but that is a big movie.
Good movie.
I was gonna say I like when I watch a movie and I'm impressed by the acting and they're more under the radar actors, which I did recognize some of them, but not like any big names, you know. So all around.
Yeah, I only recognized Peter, I think.
Oh really?
I didn't recognize any of them, not even the woman.
I recognized Tony and Steve. Colette.
But let's move on to the favorite scenes for the magazine boys. What do you say? Hop on the segues. Favorite scenes for the
favorite
magazine.
Scenes. Where we describe our favorite scenes in depth, in detail, and it goes like this. If you pick it, you kick it. And I think Preston picked this one, you know?
I think Preston needs to give me a favorite scene.
Steven picked it.
It was my pick, but it was Preston picks, though. Preston,
you want me to start?
Kick the fave scene for an amazing.
All right. Well, there's a lot of favorite scenes I had. I'm just going to name two. One of the first ones I really liked was the scene where Toni Collette, the mom, is in there yelling. She had just sleepwalked into Peter's room, and he's up there, and he's talking to her. She didn't have anything in her hands, but he's like, he was asking her why she doesn't love him and whatnot.
And then she starts being honest and starts saying crazy stuff.
Well, and they're just going at it, and I love the part where it just cut, and he's covered in paint thinner. Cuts back, she's covered in paint thinner.
Yes.
She's like,
I was thinking about that scene, and that was another reason why this movie was so scary, because they didn't need anything beyond that to, like, that, like, subtle snap of and change of reality. Like you said, she sleepwalks in there, she's doing nothing. You heard about the paint thinner story already, so you're kind of like, oh, does she have anything? Oh no, she doesn't have anything. It's fine. They're yelling, things getting hot. All of a sudden, it snaps into that. She's covered. He's covered. Fire's going on. You're like, oh my god.
And that
no special effects needed. No CGI needed. Like just, and it's like it's those little things that it's like. Hard to find in really scary movies.
Well, and you can see how he kind of regresses to like a child in some of these scenes. Yeah. And he's just like crying. He's calling out mommy. But the crazy thing is that it actually happened. She actually did do that. I mean, can you imagine waking up to your mom with paint thinner all over you? I mean, and imagine.
Oh my gosh.
Would that relationship ever be repaired? That's what you do when you sleepwalk. There's, if you do that, I don't even want to know what's going on in your mind. If that's. I mean, I could see people sleepwalking 100%, and I'm sure they do stuff that they normally do or they think they're doing normally in their life. You know, I feel like that's just like part of like sleeping and dreaming. And like,
This reminds me of something that I don't like to admit, but just gets brought up with this conversation. But this was maybe like 2 years ago, and I was sleeping in bed with Lauren, and I wake up at one moment and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs.
Oh my God.
And then I realize how crazy it is, and I snap out of it, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Because she was freaking out. I felt so bad.
Why didn't you ever tell us about that? What was going on? Were you having a bad dream?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think I just like woke up, and I remember I stood up, and then I just started like screaming. I don't even know what was going on.
What?
Oh, it was that I thought a squirrel, and this is going to sound crazy. I thought a
No way.
It already
sounds crazy.
I had thought that a squirrel ran from our window into the bed in the covers and was like scurrying around in the covers. That's why I got up and I was screaming.
Oh my goodness.
This is the greatest story you've ever told.
And that's why you were screaming for your life.
And that's how I snapped out of it. But that does relate to this some way, because yes, I have had a weird situation where I've kind of sleptwalked, but I don't sleepwalk, but like.
No, but you stood up. You stood up.
She was crazier in this movie for sure. But yeah, I stood up. But I wasn't like.
Were you chasing walking around?
You didn't come to until you were like upright.
I do know Zach Tupper used to sleepwalk. You know people that sleepwalk. You know, you've heard of it, but like I've never actively like seen somebody do it. You know, it is kind of creepy though.
But there is that point in the morning, especially if you have an alarm going off and you hit snooze. It's where your body, your mind has woken up and your body is still really easily can go back to sleep, but your mind can kind of stay static, and you can have these dreams in those moments where, I mean, I remember I used to have these dreams where I would like be, I would think I was getting up and getting ready for school, and I was dreaming that I was getting ready, and like, and then I would wake up and I'm like, shit, I was not getting ready and now I'm late. I got to hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this weird kind of dream. So I can imagine if you're in that state of some kind and you think something is happening, you might like get out of bed. Like, I don't know. That is crazy to think about.
Or though. A sleep paralysis. Preston, have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No, I've not. I've actually heard about it, though. It
yeah, I've
terrifying.
Had it before. I'm sure, haven't you?
Really?
A lot of people
I have too, yeah.
You're and it's like, where your body is essentially still completely asleep, and it your mind is just awake.
Interesting.
But your body, but that's what sleep paralysis does, is it's supposed to keep you from doing things like getting out of bed and walking around and it even keeps you from like moving and running.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Like, it's supposed to, you know, like if you... You try to run in your dreams, you really can't go anywhere because your legs aren't letting you like move.
That's another one of the crazy things, just like sleepwalking and just like crazy people in general, is that no one really, I mean, how do you explain that? No one's really going to believe you that you were, you know, I mean, it's hard to explain unless there's like a pattern of it.
It is, but like, all right, I don't give a fuck who you are. If your sleepwalking self grabs paint thinner and matches and goes into a room and puts your kids down and then yourself down, what the, there's something else. There's something else.
The kid doesn't know she's sleepwalking. So you wake up, she's got a, she lights a match and then she comes to, she turns it out.
But it, both ways, he's got the right to be like, what the fuck?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that would be
for sure. I think there are sleepwalking situations that is common where people might like do what they normally do, but to go find paint thinner,
in the oven.
Like her sleepwalking self had to like want to go down and like, you know, get that and get the combination of items and go to that room and do that thing.
But she admitted subconsciously that she didn't want him. She didn't want Peter as a son.
Just, so maybe I guess consciously.
Seems like she blurted it out.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe she did that in her sleepwalking.
And then she covered her mouth. It was almost like there was like a demon that was like forcing her to like be truthful or something.
And maybe she was trying to save him. You know? All right, let me get my, I'll get my second scene in here real quick just because I want to hear y'all's scenes.
Yeah.
It was right after he had drove home after the party and his sister had gotten decapitated. I just love how a lot through this movie, you're kind of right in there with them. You don't know what's going to happen next. So that entire scene where you just watch his face, we don't know how she's going to react, how he's going to react. You know, you're kind of just like right in that moment. I remember my first time watching, I just felt like I was right in that moment with him, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, you you feel like
you don't know any more than the actor does, and they haven't shown anymore. So you're just like,
and it's so creepy that he just goes back and he parks the car and he just goes back and he lays in his bed, and he knows what happened. He doesn't look; he just knows. He didn't even ask if she was okay, besides a faint under his breath, and he like backed off of that even. And he just goes, and I just, it's so horrible that you would want to let your mom or dad find their kid that way.
Well, he was obviously in like deep shock.
I know, but if I was in that situation, I don't know what I would do in that situation, but I would probably do anything in my world to like,
yeah, not I think
let
most
my parents going, see that in that situation. You know, like I don't want their last vision of anyone to be this, but it's just crazy to think he's like, this is acceptable to just drive this home and leave this in the driveway and we'll let mom and dad figure it out in the morning.
Oh, in that scene, so you know, I swerved out of the way of the deer. Did you notice when they were walking around the house or whatever, there's that they panned over and there was a dead deer laying on the side?
I didn't
Did
see catch that.
Yeah.
I think there was a point where it panned
what was that
over
about?
And I saw something, but I couldn't make it out.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was a deer. I thought they were just alluding to the fact that it was somehow meant to happen.
Related.
Because I guess the girl needed to die because she was, her body needed to die because she was being put into this new male body that she was supposed to be in. So maybe that was why.
So I was reading up on that too, that King Payman or whatever, like he needed like a male host or whatever for her. Like he the spirit needed like a male host, and I guess the daughter, Charlie, was born.
Let me speak on this because I know.
Okay.
So, the grandmother that was this part of this cult that Joan ran, or that Joan was a part of this cult, she was in there with them, and so she knew about all this stuff, and she tried to get her son, but if you remember from her story, she says, I kept my son away from her, and it, I guess there was a restraining order up until like, I guess her next daughter or when her daughter came in, and then he said, and then she said, I let her have my daughter, and she sunk her. So I guess, this ritual thing could have like went down, but she wanted a male to start with. If she would have just used him to start with, she wouldn't have even needed to like bring her out and possess
her. Did you also catch that her mom, like the mom's brother, like apparently died of suicide, and they blamed it on like schizophrenia or whatever, because he claimed that his mother was like trying to put people inside of him.
Yeah.
And so I guess it wasn't the first time that she tried to like get a male host.
Well, so essentially, and I'll talk about a crazy, crazy scene, but real subtle too. But you saw her mother obviously took the daughter and was like, wanted to only feed the daughter and all this kind of stuff. You see this one, and I guess while she's doing this, the mother is doing this to the daughter. She's like prepping her to be this like evil thing or whatever. I don't know exactly the details, but I do know that she was like prepped to be this like evil figure or whatever. And but she was a girl, so she couldn't like obviously do it until she died. But there was this one scene, there was a miniature sculpture of the mother with her breast out trying to breastfeed the baby.
Breastfeeding, yeah.
And the mom was in the bed holding the baby, and you saw her old mother with her breast out like reaching for the child, like trying to get the child to, so the old mother could breastfeed.
I thought that was interesting, but so that must have,
it was like one of those things. I think she was doing these like spiritual rituals to like,
do you think that happened though?
I don't think it could. I think it was just you could even lactate.
Yeah.
I mean, can you lactate at that?
No, but I don't think you can either.
I mean, the
I thought it's more.
Go ahead, Nick.
Guys, you can definitely lactate.
I thought it was symbolic.
Maybe more symbolic, but
I'm just a doctor.
I'm a doctor, and she can lactate.
I'm just saying a lot of the scenes she set up were kind of from her experience. So that's what I'm saying. Did she just randomly make that scene, or did that happen and she's
recreating it? I feel like a lot of the stuff she made were real scenes.
Because remember when she recreated her...
Because she was all about being realistic.
Her mom was standing in the doorway?
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So did she just randomly come up with this idea to make her mom have her tit out? Or did this happen in the past?
I'm pretty sure I had read that the grandma had like... And in a way adopted the child so much to the point where she thought it was like her own, or was like acting like it was her own. And like,
yeah,
I don't think you could physically do it at that age. I think it was more just like representative of like symbolic. How close she was with her. But I think she did maybe try. But any case, we can talk about,
I'm just wondering why she would be in the bed with the daughter then.
Steven, finish that thought. You were onto something there with the whole thing.
Well, I was just saying, so essentially the grandmother takes over the daughter. Now I'm thinking, because maybe I'm thinking in a way she had to die to obviously transfer host. Mm-hmm. And there had to be some rituals that went down for this to happen. You can see that she gets Amy gets coerced into doing this ritual where she's believed that there's a thing there of her younger, this woman's grandson saying, "I love you, grandma," writing it on this board. So she's kind of convinced, like, oh my God, this woman is like she seems like a genuine woman. In reality, she's like the leader of this cult, but she seems like a genuine woman. I should believe her. But meanwhile, this has like all been set up. And I think at that point is because you see that her grave gets exhumed, the grandma's grave, after a week.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the phone call.
Yeah, the cult digs it up, apparently.
I think he gets the phone call after the daughter's funeral or something. Or something happens, and then he gets the phone call, and he says, it's only been a week. What do you mean it's been desecrated? But the body was exhumed. For some spiritual purpose, like you said, you saw it up in the attic, the body laying there with the candles around.
In the attic.
Such a creepy fucking scene.
And the head was removed.
Yeah, and I thought that was like an interesting part. I feel like there was a lot of decapitation. It wasn't just the daughter. The head was removed from
Charlie,
the grandma.
Cut the bird's head off.
She cut the bird's head off. That was the first really, really scary scene. The woman comes up to the little girl and she says, how about we play with the toy after we do the quiz, yeah? She's kind of she's patronizing, obviously. And then you could tell that this little girl just gets mad and she can't do anything. So somehow she flies a bird into the window and makes it kill itself. And then, later on, she goes out there and she, like, finds the bird and cuts the head off and takes it. And also, all right, so I didn't know what this was, but did you guys see when they, like... They would touch their lip and they would look down at like a little black piece of thing.
I saw that when she was drinking the tea with Joan.
Yeah.
What was that? There was multiple hints at that, and I never figured out there was something to that. They would drink something or eat something, and then there'd be something like black in the corner of their mouth that they would pull off.
I only noticed it in that scene with Joan, and my thought was that she just needed her, I don't know, drink something or get something in there to make this happen.
No, but Amy had the same thing.
Who's Amy?
Or Annie. What's her name? The main woman.
Annie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure on that. But
she definitely did it. So if Joan also did it, then there was definitely.
No, I'm saying I only noticed it in that scene. I only noticed Annie do it once, unless it happened a second time.
I definitely noticed someone. I noticed it was like a reoccurring kind of thing.
It was
but I didn't
black.
Know.
What if it was like some of her mother's skin or something? I think so. There was Annie. Something
so
in
let
that
me.
Tea.
Let me ask. Okay, so Annie is like. She's like in this world, but she's not in this world, but she's like fighting it. But at the same time, she's also making these mini sculptures of the death occurring, like with the head on the side hitting the post. So like, is she evil or is she just, is it hereditary?
All right, so let me tell you, because
so
I know this,
like, fucked up.
I know this. So she has good intentions all the way up. She gets coerced to do the seance, and she gets coerced. She gives her the thing and she says, if you want to do this at your house, go say these words and, you know, make sure they're all there and, like, you're going to do this. So she does this. She says these words. She's coerced to do the spiritual ritual that is doing something that she doesn't think. She's thinking she's going to talk to her daughter. This spiritual thing is saying, like, you're about to sacrifice someone to, like. So you see when the dad is lit on fire, that whole crazy fucking scene where she's saying, throw this book away. I'm going to light on fire with it, but I need to die because you guys need to be protected. And he's saying, you're ill. She grabs it and she throws it in the fire. And I guess he gets lit up in flame, just like the book. And she had put gasoline or whatever on the book. And so, so I read that at that moment she gets possessed.
Well, you
by,
see it
by pay, whatever his name.
Did you guys not see it? She's sitting there staring at the body. Mm-hmm. Then
yeah,
you see
the light.
The light come in.
The light. So the light goes into her. So up until that point, she had good intentions. She didn't.
She did.
She was like a desperate mother trying to like fix a shitty situation, and like it was just one of those things that I think up until that point she had just gotten fucked over. She was just like vulnerable, and she was taken advantage of by this like woman that seemed like she was generous, but really this whole thing was kind of set up. And it seems like a lot of random things had to fall into place for it to happen from the view that I'm looking at it. But then you see the kid jump out of the window, and that was a fucking crazy, creepy scene with the naked people. I mean, are we going to talk about it?
I would have jumped out of the window.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was an interesting part. I also thought this thing was interesting here.
I was like, what is that? Yeah, with like,
the
Charlie's head.
Jesus figure.
King Payman.
She's the queen.
What is this, like, hand cane?
Well, there's, like, the queen and then the king, right? I think Annie
it's
was the queen.
Well, actually, it said when it panned to the grandma.
Or not Annie. It,
when it
wasn't the grandma referred to as Queen Leah or something?
Yeah,
or
that's
Leia?
What it said on the picture frame in this scene when it panned over to it. Yeah, let's get a close-up. What do those chompers look like?
She's hot. I mean, look at this. Look at this face.
The first time I saw it, I didn't realize that it was Charlie.
It is so creepy. I didn't even see the closer view of it. No, but that whole scene when he jumps out of the window, and then you see he hits the ground, and then he gets possessed. And so apparently that's Charlie that possesses him.
Yeah.
And she is now this god or whatever. I don't know exactly how it works, but she is now the one that they're all going to bow to.
The mom just like
she finally has her male host. And I don't understand about the whole possession thing. Maybe you have to be in a really, really physically and mentally vulnerable state for it to happen or something. I don't know why it couldn't have happened before he jumped out the window, or why it couldn't have happened to her before she saw her husband light on fire. But maybe there's something happens and then it makes it easier. But yeah, then they levitate up in the scary freaking treehouse, and then they're all, oh my god, just a creepy ass scene, naked charred people up in there bowing to, and
well, it looked like some of the people were like alive, didn't it?
No, it did, and apparently Joan was there, and I didn't see her, but
I think they were part of the cult.
Yeah, they were all part of the cult.
Yeah, creepy as fuck.
Yeah, so like, why were they naked? Why were they naked?
Because why not? I mean, you're already a cult and you already got murder charges. So might as well go out naked.
But why was the dad? I think the dad was naked.
Oh, so you also know? Did you guys? I think it also has to do with the thing that they have to like sleep out in the cold whenever they're. I don't. So you saw the daughter. She was always sleeping up in the areas where it was cold, and she didn't have her blanket. And her mom was like, "You're gonna get hypothermia if you sleep out here. Like, you have to sleep inside. You can't fall asleep out here." Right. And then when after her daughter dies, you see the mom start sleeping outside in her car and then out in the treehouse, and she's starting to sleep with like colder. Maybe they just like to be cold, and like less clothing just means you're going to be colder overall.
Maybe.
So, Steven, answer that question. Why? I'm pretty sure the dad was naked at one point, like in the corner, like
I couldn't tell
cheesing.
If that.
He was cheesing too.
I couldn't tell if that was the dad or some random guy, because
it wasn't the dad.
It didn't look like his face.
No, it wasn't the dad.
It didn't look like his face.
But I did see that you're talking about when it was up in the attic, or
right after Peter found his dad's body, he like looked back into the doorway and there's that guy standing there. Then it went back to Peter. Then it went back and the guy's smiling.
Yeah, and he's smiling.
He's just a naked guy.
Big grin.
No, I do remember that. Yeah, that was and that those were just the creepiest things. Like.
Even when he went into the attic, did you see the old lady in the background?
Yeah, and those were like the creepiest parts where you just saw these like random like creepy faces and stuff like that. And it just gave me chills, man. I don't know if
I'll tell you, Peter can run up a ladder to an attic.
I know, and what he
fucking
and there was
that
scene.
Shit.
So right when he gets in the attic,
oh, I did like
Annie
that.
Like is slamming her head on the thing, and then she's like. That was such a fucking creepy scene. That 1 second where she's slamming her head, like, not even, like, fast enough. It was, like, way faster than she could have physically done it. It was like a demon was just doing it. But she was slamming her head so hard on that door, faster than I've ever seen. And that was such a creepy scene. And then you saw her fucking head off in that one scene. And that was fucking creepy. And no wonder he fucking jumped out. Like, holy shit. And yeah, there was something with the beheading that they had to go through. I don't know.
Yeah. I like coupled with that scene.
Couple of her knickknacks here.
That's the little thing she was making in class.
What is that? Like, what is she making? What is that?
It looks like a little pill bottle with some... I don't know if it's a pill bottle.
Zoom in on it? We're looking at this device that...
It was what she was messing with. Charlie was messing with. It's got like a little.
Yeah, she's like making that in class or whatever.
Yeah, and then this pill bottle and nails, and then she like had these weird figurines here with a salt shaker.
And that's just creepy. That's just creepy alone. Like, great touch of just like adding, and she did that.
I know. Can we everybody give a little?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But oh my god, it was just such a creepy thing, and then Yeah, you saw that one scene where he looks over at the school and he looks over at his face and his face is smiling back at him.
That was creepy.
I know. I was like, damn. And then he just like gets his head slammed into the table. He was such a good actor in that scene. He was like genuinely screaming. Like
all the points when he regressed to being like a child, especially on that when she's banging her head. He's like, mommy, mommy, like, please. Like, I don't know. That just kind of. Really amplified it for me.
No, I know. It was just good. There was a lot of really good
another little interesting tidbit. If you guys noticed, like, all the drawings had his eyes X'd out. The pictures had his eyes punched out. So that was supposed to be in it, and they did film an alternate scene with him, like, gouging his own eyes out or something like that. But they ended up going with this scene, I guess, for studio purposes.
That's too bad. I would have enjoyed watching.
But it doesn't make the all the X's and eyes
punched
out.
And I thought the... back to that sleepwalking scene. When she's sleepwalking, she's following all the bugs. There's all the bugs that are... there's a huge trail of bugs. Such a creepy thing. And it's like one of those things like... You don't really like... When you're trying to think of like what could be really, really scary, you don't think of that. But man, that is such a good, scary touch. All the bugs. And then you just see her son just has all the bugs all over him.
And then she wakes up.
What artist recently did that with the bees? some artist recently was sitting in a chair. There was a bunch of honeybees all over him.
We're taking all the scenes, though. I want to hear from, why don't we pass it on to Trent?
Yeah, Trent, what was your fave?
Yeah, Trent,
yeah, so my favorite scene was, you know, when she went outside, Charlie went outside, and there was that bush, and she saw the bird, and she started cutting off the head of the bird.
Great scene.
And, you know, it was morbid, and I liked that scene. I don't know. Like,
I think the first, like, really creepy thing we saw Charlie do? Yeah. Like, besides her just being creepy in general.
I think so.
I'm being sarcastic as hell. Because that was a creepy fucking scene. I did not like that scene.
You asked me if I wanted to go out cutting birds.
I was about to say, Drew, that was not true.
Did you notice she drew a bird's head too with a little crown on it?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't really.
Yeah, she did. I couldn't keep up with all her dumb drawings.
I thought that was going to be one of the a question.
So I thought a good scene was the scene I mentioned earlier with the. Well, actually, let me say this one first. The beginning scene was cool. How they went from these, like, the model of the house or, like, her room where she's building all these things.
I thought
that was
really cool.
And then it zoomed in, and then they're actually working. Peter and her dad.
It zoomed into the model house that looked really, really realistic, and then right when he got to the room, it was the real shot. And I thought it was so seamless. So seamless.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that.
But I love movies that can do that. I feel like 1917, that movie does a really good job with cinematic and the one really, really long scenes. But you got to give credit to the director and the producers on this, because they killed it with those little touches. And like you said, that's not CGI kind of stuff. I mean, there's a switch, but that's like where you have to have real art, and real art has to come together to just make it beautiful.
Yeah, and then the other thing I was going to mention here was that the acting. There was one part where I was like, "This is trash acting," which I thought was Joan at the grocery supplies shop.
I didn't like that either.
Touching her, she's like
overly
keeps touching
touchy.
Her, and
oh yeah,
I was like,
"She's so touchy."
She's like annoying the hell out of me, and I can't. Sure, this is like too much. But a scene that I really liked was I did mention it, and it was when. And could you imagine like this happening? It felt like what would occur at a dinner table after the son kills his sister, and the mom is there, and she just unleashes all of the all of that feelings she's having. I got some of the quote here.
Resentment.
All I do is worry, enslave, and defend you, and all I get back is that fucking face on your face, so full of disdain, resentment, and always so annoyed. Well, now your sister is dead, and I know you miss her, and I know it was an accident, and I know you're in pain, and I wish I could take that. It just felt real.
Dude,
it was raw.
It really did.
And I feel
when she said that, I kind of almost started laughing when she said,
that face.
I did too.
You're fucking your face on your face.
No, I know, but
it also felt real
because
she said that.
When you say real, there were so many lines that she delivered and so many conversations. Like, it just seemed so realistic, and the way she delivered it was so realistic. Like, I think it's one thing to give an actress lines, and it's another thing for an actress to, like, really put herself in that character and come off as convincing as she was. I really don't know if I've seen anyone ever really do it that well, now that I think about it. But through the whole movie,
that part where she's telling him that they never wanted him, and he was like, she wanted to have a miscarriage, and she like let it slip, and then she like grabbed her mouth or whatever. I was like, oh my God, that scene was so good. And like,
then she
so
kept
believable.
On going too. She was like, well, why did you have me? She was like, well, I didn't. I didn't want to. I tried to have a miscarriage. And he's like, how? And she's like, I did everything I could.
So you tried to kill me?
She's like, I did everything I could, but like, I'm glad it didn't happen. And I was like, this is so fucking crazy. Not only is she like in there in the middle of the night, but like, this is what she's saying now. And like, this is her son that's obviously been fucking traumatized. He didn't mean for that to happen. He didn't even mean for the whole peanut allergy thing to happen. Like, he was just trying to have fun at a party and like...
Or I mean, waking up with paint thinner to your mom sleepwalking, and then she's staring over your bed, waking up from sleep.
See, I don't even know if I would live in the same house anymore after that. Like, I think it's at that point you're like, all right, sleepwalking or not, I think I'm moving out at 16. All right?
Also, this is a quick aside, but like, What? How much were they paying him for him to be okay with breaking his nose on that desk? Like, what loyalty did he owe them? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would...
He said he would.
You'd have to be paying me a lot of money. Like, for me to intentionally break my own nose, there's got to be something... Well, that's... Preston was saying that he would have volunteered.
Well, he volunteered
to make it look real.
But why would you... But didn't... I thought you said that he volunteered to, like, break his own nose.
Method actor, dedicated to the craft.
He volunteered. They didn't make him do it. He was just saying, hey, I'll do this real time on a real table.
Why would he volunteer that unless there was something?
I think some,
you know what I mean? Like, was he that desperate?
Dedication to the craft.
I think some actors, just like body transformations, like, they will go to crazy lengths just so they can be in a movie that, like, shows, like, as real as it could possibly be.
Another thought is that,
I get it, but man, like, physical pain is different than, like, working out for a movie and getting fit or like losing weight. Like,
people get fat for a
movie. But had he done that too, I don't think you could capture that scene because he might have done it once and then actually hurt himself. And then I don't think you can get that actual boom, boom, like that actual impact that they were looking for if
you
could hurt himself.
I don't think you could.
I would probably hold back a little. You probably wouldn't go down.
I feel like you really couldn't commit to it, but I feel like he was. I mean, he committed to the one he did. And I would be surprised if, and I don't know how many takes that took. I'm sure.
And you got to get it one take. You got to get
like
it
one
take,
take
too.
Like, you better hit it.
Like, sorry, dude. I know you have a black eye and you're bleeding everywhere. You just need one more time, please. One more.
Well,
time.
He probably practiced. He probably practiced everything.
We got to change out the film.
Wait, my computer's on.
Our fucking intern Johnny over there was impressive.
One little tidbit I didn't want to mention with the when Toni Collette and her speaking. Performance when it just captured you. One thing I recognize is that in all of those things, that, like, there was no music, no background kind of awning, no effects or anything. It was just completely silent. All you're hearing is just her, just like raw emotion.
Yes.
So I think that really captured that.
Oh God,
those emotions really well.
Was that when she was like keeled over and she was like, "I just want to die. I can't handle it."
Oh my God, that was such a hard part to watch.
Oh yeah. After the daughter.
Well, let me get in here. I want to sound off on at least one here, but
I want the 2 cents on this.
So this it's tough for me because favorite scene for a scary movie. It's like I didn't enjoy a lot of this movie because of how fucked up it was, but my definition of favorite scene is a little bit loosely defined, just based on like what I thought was scary or like impactful. Or that just resonated with me, but one scene that stands out is when they're doing like the seance thing in the living room, and then basically Charlie's spirit comes into Annie and she starts talking as if she's Charlie.
Oh, good scene.
And the kid is like oh my God, dad, like, make it. He's like begging his dad to make it stop. And it's like when Annie comes to after talking as if she's Charlie for like 30 seconds or whatever, she's just like, the way that she looks at them, like she has no idea, like she just blacked out. She has no idea what just happened. That scene was like it wasn't my favorite scene, but it was just like, holy shit, that was really scary. Mm-hmm. And then the other scene that I literally audibly said, Jesus fucking Christ, and I was like so scared, was when... I think it was after the husband dies and Annie becomes... And it really a quick side about Steve, the husband, he couldn't be the host because he wasn't blood to the family. So that's why they weren't able to possess him. But that scene after he dies and burns in the fire and then Annie's like possessed and then... I think it is shortly after she's like chasing him up the stairs or something, but like there's this scene where he's in the room and he's just standing there and then she like floats like through the rafters behind him, like through the camera.
Yeah. Yes.
And that
yes,
scene.
That scene was that so well done.
That scene was so fucking scary. And it wasn't even, I guess it was more of like a jump at you scene, but
it
not in
like
the sense where it was like,
away
boom,
from
here it is.
It was
like,
subtle.
Kind of, it was like in the, it was in the background. There was a, and that was the thing about this movie a few different times. Like, I was looking at Rachel. I was like, did you not just see that? And I was like, she was like, see what? And I was like, did you not just see the grandma's face and the reflection of the, like, the dresser? And she's like, oh, no, I didn't even see that. So, like, there was some scenes where it was just, you had to be looking really carefully to see it. But that scene, it was when she's floating, like her body was floating
Did
through the rafters.
See her in,
I was just
when
like,
Peter first
oh
woke
my
up
God.
Right before that scene, when he woke up in his bed, you saw her up in the corner.
And she's in the rafter. Yeah, Rachel didn't see
she
him
didn't
up there
float
either.
Away that time, but she
up in the corner.
The
no, I think, Nick, you're talking about the mom when she's floating away behind him, right? That scene. Because you're talking about
Charlie.
When she's up in the corner.
Yeah.
No, I think it was,
No, I think the mom is up in the rafters
the mom
at one
was
point.
Because
I remember that was the first that was the first time I was like, oh, the mom's fucking.
And did you guys, oh my God, they showed the head of the little girl after it had been. And the road.
That was the Midsommar scene. That was a Midsommar scene where Rachel was like, that's the same director.
And that was
the,
such
like
a
the
scary,
telltale.
Like, splice that I was like,
that was the only like jump scare I think it had in there.
It did. That was a big jump scare. And it was
and
like,
it was hardly like a scare,
and
you
it
know?
It looked so realistic. I'm like, oh my God, like who did this? But like it was just so morbid. Probably like the most morbid thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's literally a not to spoil any of the plot of Midsommar, but there is a scene where there's like a body or a head or something like that, and they show it that same type of way where it's like, oh my God, like so much, it's almost, it pulls your attention, your attention's like pulled in a different direction because like the scene's already happened and you're like, oh, they didn't show it, so I guess it's not happening. And then it's like the following morning, and it's just like not even like a slow pan up to it from a far distance. It's just like, boom, there's the dead head, like right on the camera, the ants crawling all over it. Like, gosh.
No, I think needless to say, this was a scary movie. Scary movie. I think it put a little bit of hair on all of our chests, all right? I think... We tossed back some real whiskey tonight.
People categorize it differently. Like I said, I don't think it's like scary. I think it's a really well done horror movie.
Me too. I think it's really hard for me. Like I said, I'm sure torture movies would scare me, but psychologically, this movie.
Yeah.
Nick's got something he wants to say.
I was just gonna say, you guys know how we say like put hair on your peaches or hair on your chest.
Yeah,
it's funny because she just walked in the room behind me too. Rachel was like trying to say that the other day, and she goes, "Yeah, this really put some freckles on my nips." I was like, "Freckles on my nips?
Is that
what?
The equivalent?
You mean
that is the equivalent?" So, which I will adopt.
Preston,
from now on.
You. Yeah, I was gonna say, Preston, you kicked it. So if you wanna. Or you picked it if you want to kick that review.
Kick that review.
Well, Steven, this is actually Steven's pick. Do you want to go first?
No, I think I want you to go first.
All right. So like I said in the beginning, my sister recommended this movie. I was hesitant to watch it. I'm glad I did. And for all the reasons I mentioned, just the acting was incredible. And I love horror movies. I'm very picky about horror movies. This was really refreshing to see, in my opinion, for a modern scary movie, whatever, psychological thriller, whatever you want to call it, just to have these and not to rely on gore, not to rely on jump scares and whatnot. I feel like most horror movies nowadays are just in the scary category, just so predictable in their own ways. And this, I feel like a lot throughout this movie are kind of right there in the actual feelings with these actors. You didn't know any more than they did. And so, I don't know. So for all those reasons... I'm gonna come in. I'm gonna do a 4.5. I'm gonna do a 4.5.
Dang.
Chat section going off.
Dang. When I
chat section going off. Trent, cancel that chat.
This is my second time watching it, so I didn't have all the. I knew what was coming a lot of the time, but I remember my feelings the first time, and I was just like, "Wow." I don't know. I was blown away for a.
That's a big review for
4.5. Let me lead it up here. There was a lot that I agree with. The acting was great. The original storyline I thought was really, really, really great and really unique and interesting. And it hit the paranormal and psychological vibes for me, which I absolutely love. It's not a movie I'm going to watch probably again or anytime soon. And so it goes a little bit differently for my personal reviews. And we've talked in the past, I think personally me and maybe all of us as a group, we're not like huge horror film guys or, you know, movies like this. But I feel like for this genre, this is a banger of a movie. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are really into horror and they see this as like another movie, like, yeah, we could throw this on whenever. But ultimately, great acting, great, all the scary scenes like we've jumped into. I told myself it was a 4.5 for a scary movie. But I think it was a 3.5 for like a movie that I'm like, how like often I would like watch it, or you
if
know,
it's not my, Harry Potter binge, if it's not Harry Potter bingeable, know, that's it goes Stevens. Down on the chart.
But I'm so I'm landing at a solid 4 stars on this movie. I like okay. this movie a lot, and it definitely scared me, and that's exactly what I was looking for. I wanted to find a movie that was actually going to scare me, and that was kind of like The Forest, like I mentioned earlier, that movie about the suicide forest in Japan that I was still similar, had twists. Psychological, there was a you know, and this movie had twists. Nick, I know you like a nice twist. I know you like when a movie twists them nips.
That's an interesting rating system.
I don't know who's next. I mean, I would let it go to Nick. I can
okay
end it.
Okay,
NJ with the next. I'm excited to see. Now listen, Nick, this had some twisty nips for you. Now I know you like a nice twist. I know, maybe not even consider a twist, but there were definitely yeah, twists and turns. Twist? Well, there was like twists, like when she throws the book in the fire, and instead of her lighting on fire, it's him that lights on fire. There was like more subtle twists throughout the movie, I feel.
Okay.
And then like you see at the end, but what'd you think? Yeah, with them twisting nibs.
All right, so Preston's 4.5 and Steven's 4.
Correct.
That's where we're at. Okay.
That's where we're at, right?
All right, this movie's tough for me because do I like being in this place watching this movie? Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Never. So where I will be critical of the movie is I feel like there are other movies who do similar topics or like similar. While this movie may be like unique in how it was shot and the twists and things like that, it reminded me a lot of the movie Babadook. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I've seen that.
Where it's like possessed kid, does a bunch of creepy drawings. There's something about a book, this like sacred book that like she can't get rid of. She can't burn the book. She like can't get rid of the book. It's like possessed. Like all, I was seeing a lot of those similarities between this movie and some like other... I'm not even an expert in this genre, but I guess some of the paranormal movies I've seen, it shared some commonalities with that. But I will give it, like, the acting, I thought Miss Collette absolutely destroyed it. Like, she should deserve, like, an Oscar for this. And, I mean, she didn't really have to show a lot of her, like, warm, touchy, personable, friendly side. And it was just straight dark for, like, 2 hours. But that in itself is, like, impressive that she can, like, put on that kind of performance. And the kid, what Peter did, incredible, too. I just want these movies to end, like, so quickly when I start them. Because I'm just, like... I don't enjoy them. I mean, I guess I enjoy some of the twists and stuff, but I'm literally just sitting there with my ass like nice and puckered the whole movie, just like waiting for the floating body scene or the decapitated head and all that. So it's like, I kind of agree that you have to score this two different ways. Like if I were a horror fan, I probably would rank this as like a pretty good horror movie. But as just a general movie lover, I'm going to rate it lower just because it's hard for me to rank a movie high when I don't enjoy it. Like, oh, you gave it a 4 stars. Yeah, but I fucking hated the movie. But the acting was great, you know? So that's hard for me. So I'm definitely teetering between like a 3 and 3.5. Oh, God. I guess I'll give it a 3.5 just based on like merit and the acting and the cinematography and all of that, but I will dock it based on just my general distaste for this type of movie and the fact that I feel like it's kind of been done in other movies in terms of the paranormal type of stuff they were displaying.
And Trent, we'll get back into you, but I completely agree. It is really hard to do this kind of movie because I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again until I
Right.
Maybe I would probably watch it again in like maybe 5 or 10 years if I completely forgot everything that happened in the book, in the movie, and I was able to watch it again completely. I had completely forgot everything, but I knew it was a really scary movie. It's like one of those things with scary movies. Yeah. I don't like scary movies. One, it's nothing that I just go to, but if I, you know, like in this situation, I wanted to find a movie that scared me, and I did. This movie definitely scared me. Am I going to watch it again anytime soon?
It served its purpose.
Definitely not. It served its purpose well, but I will not watch this movie until I at least forget everything that happened, because like you said, you don't want to rewatch this movie to see that kind of stuff, but people in the horror fan industry, they might love that kind of thing. So I do agree. It's really hard to like kind of rate it an overall rating when, you know, but like I said, I'm thinking like it, for, in my opinion, 4.5 for the horror people are probably putting it.
Well, I think we should take that into account. I mean, these are our own reviews. So even if the acting was great and whatnot, if you just don't like it, I mean,
it's true.
That's your review.
Yeah. I mean, based on the acting alone, like if you replace the genre with like insert some other genre with this acting, I may be in the like 4 or 5 range with like how great the acting was, but just because I don't enjoy this type of movie, I'm gonna be lower. But I'm very curious where Trent's at. I have a feeling he's closer to where I am, but I don't know, maybe even lower. We'll see.
Oh man, I think it could be lower. I have to come in here real quick with a personal issue taking to this, because there's a movie called Nocturnal Animals with some fantastic acting in it. Some great acting in it. And it just reminds me of this because it's horror or whatever. It's kind of like scary. Not horror, I guess, but that movie's like thriller. So it's a little bit different. But like, you give this movie way better. Okay, let me just go into my review of it though. So
Trent's holding some grudges.
I'm normally the one picking the movie. This movie does remind me of like, okay, so I put this movie on like the pedestal of like The Ring or maybe The Grudge or... I know a movie called like Shudder. I don't know if you guys have seen that. That one's weird. Or Babadook. I like that example. I haven't seen that one, but yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. It's not really like Strangers feel. It's not really like thriller feel. I'm gonna go out and say it off the bat. This movie didn't scare me at all. I thought this movie was like kind of ridiculous throughout the whole time. I thought the little girl was creepy. I thought everything she was doing was creepy. I thought the whole movie was just kind of creepy. There were elements I did think were good in terms of like a scary movie, like suspenseful. Like I thought the driving home scene was suspenseful where her head gets cut off or whatever. But all in all, like some of the acting was good. Like I'll admit, what's her name? The main actress, Allie, was pretty good with her scenes. Her possessed scenes, you know, didn't really do it for me, but okay. There were some, and then there was just a lot of like the story and plot, like the end with her floating into the thing, the cabin and the naked people and the plot of Joan being a part of the whole cult. And I'm getting more of it now. So I guess I'm appreciating it a little bit more with some of the plot. But I was just like, what's going on? This isn't for me. And like you guys were saying, Nick and Steven just now, I will review it differently with my rating because I personally will never watch this movie again. Let me outright say that. I'm trying to think if I would recommend it to somebody. And I hate doing this because I respect Stephanie and she thought this movie was really scary. And
Barry Stephanie, go for the throats.
I doubt she's going to listen to this far in the episode. So I'm just going to say it. I didn't like the movie.
We can take soundbites.
I'm going to give it.
Shocker.
I'm going to give it a 2-star.
All right, no problem. Now I will say that Trent, you're a stickler about the naked people.
Here comes the counter argument.
Do not forget that in Nocturnal Animals, it opened with naked people dancing, and that apparently was fine. And there was naked. Of naked people that was really weird, but in that instance, it was fine.
Trent, it was explained.
Rebuttal.
The rebuttal is that in that movie, in that movie, they were naked, and they were, there was a whole reason why the director did that, and it was to, like, I forget what the reason was.
Steven, the point is, that movie had Jake G, and Trent will suck a fat one for Jake
sure,
G all day.
I will. His acting is phenomenal. I didn't think the acting was on Jake G's level in this movie, and I don't know why they were naked in this movie. I thought it was just them doing more creepy, weird shit.
I think it's
your
just
rebuttal has been noted, and
I will
filed
say,
with the state.
The ending, even the first time I watched it, was not what I was expecting. I wasn't the biggest fan of the ending. And like I said earlier, we didn't think it was the scariest movie.
I just was watching it throughout, and I was like, I don't know what we're doing with this thing. I don't know where this is going.
For me, it was really scary for me because I, and maybe Trent, you view it as like creepy, and maybe that's what it might be. I don't know. I feel like this kind of thing is more scary. I know I would be scared with torture movies and stuff like that, but this for me was, it had that subtle scare and paranormal and psychological that I find really interesting. And so it's obviously going to be different for other people. Like maybe what I think is scary, Trent, you think is creepy. Preston, you don't even find scary, you know. And it's
Steven
it's,
finds it a comedy. Some things that we find scary.
Scream had
it's
huge
a comedy.
Comedic effect. You guys got to listen back to Scream, but you guys, well done.
Is there any scary movie you'd binge though?
No, I do not like scary movies. Really, it's like that's why I had to ask you guys for advice on one because I just. The only one that I had seen is The Forest, and I was like, I don't really know if I want to choose that one. I wanted to watch a new one that I was really going to be blown away by. And that's why I'm glad I watched this. It did what it needed to do. It scared me.
So if Preston, if you're asking a thriller, I like thrillers. But if we're talking like horror specifically, I think The Ring has to be a top contender. I thought that movie was a really well done and being like a scary fucking movie, especially when it came out when we were so young.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Steven. It's like a lot of people don't even categorize it as horror per se, like psychological thriller. That's what I'm saying. There's so many different subgenres.
There's
that, like even Saw, Hostel. There's other movies that like have a lot more scary aspects to me. But
I thought The Ring was I would answer it for me. For what you're asking, Preston.
All right.
And if you ever need to know about Thriller, just ask Trent Miller the Thriller. Okay? Because he knows about them thrillers. And Jake Gyllenhaal will be starring.
I've got a freak leak.
Ooh, freak that leak.
Is it me? Because I wasn't prepared, and then I was midway through this like, oh, fuck, I got to get this.
Yeah, it is yours. Are we sticking to Halloween, or are we moving on from it?
Well, let's see. What's today? October 25th. So I think it'll be past the Halloween times.
We're coming up on Halloween.
So Halloween, we'll be past it. I'm switching it up. I'm going to Vegas. I'm picking a movie on the odds. I'm going with Molly's Game.
Ooh,
Molly's Game.
That's a casino movie.
We've talked about this one.
We've talked about this one. But
I've heard you guys talk
last time
about
it.
I didn't know it was
last time I came back from Vegas, we talked about which Vegas movies we should do.
Yes, we did. We did.
Good time. Down.
It's a good movie.
All
really,
right.
Really good
Molly's
movie.
Game. Can't wait. I'm into Vegas stuff. Never seen it, but we're hypocritical critics. Compadres without credentials. Throw us a 5-star and a review on that platform. And follow us on the Instagram, hypocritic_podcast. Email us at thehypocriticpodcast@gmail.com. We just want to know who you are. Who is in Frankfurt, Germany? Someone is in Frankfurt, Germany, consistently hitting us up. Who are you? We definitely want to hear from you specifically. That is the one specific that I can, because it's a different country. I could definitely dial into that different country. But.
One listener.
All right, you guys. Great episode this week. Happy Halloween coming up, and I'll see y'all next week.
All right, good to see you, Preston. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy spooky stuff, yeah.